The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. Where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I first joined seminary, they made it very clear from the Archdiocese that they would help pay for our college expenses, but we were on our own when it came to buying food and gasoline and insurance and all that kind of stuff. So during the summer months, we would have to go and get jobs, and I always resented that. But my first summer in college, I remember I got a job at a factory, and that was very interesting work, let me tell you. It was a Delta factory in Greensburg, Indiana, making faucets. So if you guys have any faucet issues, let me know. I probably built the thing. You can blame me for it. So Delta faucet, you know, we're on these assembly lines. And when I got there, you know, I didn't know anybody. You know, I was completely new to the plant, you know, and getting to know my fellow workers. The only familiar face there was one of the guys who was our runner. He'd go to the storehouse and bring us supplies when we had run out. He was a fellow classmate of mine in high school. His name was Scott. Now, Scott was an interesting guy, just not the sharpest tool in the shed kind of guy, you know. Very nice, very good guy, but just interesting. And I remember when we had our breaks, you know, and we would be sitting around talking, about every week or two, he would come to me, and knowing that I was, you know, going into seminary, training to be a priest, he'd be like, "Dan, I've got this new religion that I found that I'm following now." And I was like, "All right, Scott, let's hear about it," you know. And 1 week, it would be Buddhism, you know, and he'd be big into Buddhism. He'd read the documents for that, you know, and be really into it. And a few weeks later, he'd come up to me like, "Dan, Buddhism, it's not the real thing. So I've got another one. I've got another religion that I found." I was like, "All right, what is it this time?" "Confucianism." "All right." So he reads about Confucius, you know, and how we are meant to, you know, give up of our worldly possessions and follow this way. And through the summer, this kept going on. Every couple weeks, you know, he would find a new philosophy, something he could cling on to. And finally, you know, we got closer to the end, and I finally said, "Scott, you know, when are you going to just land on something? You know, when are you going to find something that's just going to fit. And he said, you know, I'm still searching. I'm still looking for something that's just going to hit home. And he says, every time I think I've got it, I try to live it out, and it's just not enough. I remember the last one he came up with. It was my last week working there before school started up again. And he said, I've discovered Taoism. I was like, why Taoism? Which is another Asian philosophy. And he said, because it means the way. And I want to find the way. I want to find the way. Oftentimes when I hear confessions, it amazes me how many of us are trying to find the way. And it usually comes across in these almost childish sins that we confess. A lot of times it's coming in and saying, you know, Father, I've lied, and I really don't know why I lie, but I tell these white lies to people, and it just comes off my tongue. I don't even realize I'm doing it. Oftentimes, it's because I know if I told the truth, you know, people would look down on me. So I have to put up a good front, you know, I have to keep up appearances. And so, in these confessions that I'm hearing, I get the sense that there's a desire to be authentic. There's a desire to be genuine, to follow the right way through life. But somehow we decide that we want to forge our own path. We decide that we want to create our own way. And we try many different ways to do this. We try all these experiments in our life trying to find that way. There's a good Catholic movie that was made in 1966. It's called The Trouble with Angels. I don't know if anybody's ever seen it. It's a Catholic comedy. Very funny movie. It's based in this convent in Quebec, Canada. And in this movie, it details the life of these students, you know, that are in this boarding school that's run by nuns. And as you can imagine, these young ladies that are trapped in this convent being run by nuns, they seek out ways to entertain themselves and are constantly getting in trouble, hence the title, The Trouble with Angels. And their biggest adversary is the Mother Superior, and they're always trying to find a way to get on Mother Superior's nerves, you know, and trying to rile her feathers, you know. But there's a very touching scene in the movie when one of the students is way behind on one of their projects for home economics. They have to put a dress together. They have to sew this dress together. And they're working late into the night, you know, and it's looking like they're not going to get it done on time. And Mother Superior is kind of walking the hallways, checking, make sure that all the lights are out, you know, all the locks to the doors are done. And she sees the light to the home economics room on. You know, she comes in and she sees the student feverishly working on this dress, trying to get it finished for the class the next day so she can pass this class. And the Mother Superior sits down and is just like, would you like some help with this? And the student's like, well, you know, Mother Superior, I don't want to put this on you. I did this project late. And she's like, no, let me help you with this. And so they start working on this dress together, and the Mother Superior starts to talk to the student about when she was younger. And she grew up in Paris, this cosmopolitan city where everyone, you know, was wearing the finest things, and she dreamt of being a fashion designer. That's what she wanted to do when she grew up, you know, and she learned to be a seamstress, she learned the skills of the trade, and she dreamed of a fashion line that would challenge the great Chanel. And she would go to these shows and she'd see the fashions, you know, that were coming down, the models wearing them, and say, you know, I would do that a little differently, or I would put that sash over here. I would do this thing with that dress. And she had this mentality for that. And as she's talking, the student, first of all, is impressed that Mother Superior knows anything about fashion. You know, she is wearing this black habit all the time. But then she looks at her, and she was like, so that was your dream. That's what you wanted for your life, was to grow up and be a fashion designer. And she said, What changed your mind? Why would you give up on that dream? And it's my favorite part of the movie. The Mother Superior, she's, you know, sitting there sewing away, and she pulls the thread out, and she looks off into the distance as if recollecting that decision to give up that dream. And she pulls the thread out, and she looks off, and she says, I found something better. Today we hear Christ teach us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Now many of us are trying to forge our own path, and we're trying to do it on our own, and the fact is we don't have to. The fact is, for each and every one of us, this idea of American dream, of being whatever you want to be by desiring and designing your own destiny, is a lie. The reality is there's one way, one truth, one life, and we have it within our grasp. There is something better. We don't have to give in to this rat race of running around trying to fulfill all these human desires. The reality is, the way is a man who has promised us everything. The truth is that we are loved. Our life is immortal. And so as we come to this space, let us shed off those lies that we give ourselves. Let us put away these false masks that we wear and show to the world. Let us give way to a true way of living that denounces fear, that allows us to step into the world boldly and say, this is who I am, this is who God created me to be. Let us stand firmly upon the rock of truth that cannot be moved. And in that way, we will find fulfillment. In that way, we will finally come to realize what the apostles realized in today's first reading, that we have the way, the truth, and the life before us, but there's nothing else that we need. We receive him into our very body and blood, the soul and divinity of Christ himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. May we follow him. Amen.